How is your hand, by the way?
Burned.
Show it.
Blistered.
Show your lame hand. Wait, move it over more. Grody. Yeah, that's going to bubble up. You're going to love it. You're going to be obsessed with it when it bubbles up. Prediction. Prediction, Phoebe's going to be absolutely obsessed with her blisters, her bubble blisters. Honestly, though, if you have a blister and it's not a bubble blister, what's the point?
Well, this one already is the one on my finger, which is awesome. But I will just say that what I made was delicious.
What was it?
I made sweet potatoes, chicken, and broccoli and orzo with like buffalo honey sauce.
Wow.
It was yum. It was yum.
But well,
I did feel like a regular chef yesterday, though.
I felt like a regular old chef.
Pre-burn. That was a callback to reality.
And you know, but yeah,
I had fucking like so many pots and pans. I was like, hence why I reached so quickly. Here's what happened.
Should we say hi?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name's Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we're yapping about Phoebe burning her hand like a freaking numbskull. And also apparently being the Swedish chef. Go ahead, Phoebe. Now tell us how it happened.
I was making broccoli.
Your first mistake.
Guys, I actually am like good in the kitchen is what I'm realizing.
The first 5 minutes of this episode have just been Phoebe talking about how she like is pretty good in the kitchen, if she does say so herself. And then she's like, wait, guys, I know I'm joking about it, but like, I am pretty good in the kitchen. We know. I mean, you have yet to cook something for me, but
I was making broccoli, and the way that I was going to make this broccoli was on the stove first and then bake it or roast it for a little bit in the same pan.
And get this, in the same pan. Mind blown. Mind blown.
my mind was blown by this decision later on, because I put it in, the way that I was making things was the chicken had to be in there for the longest time. And then I added the sweet potatoes, and that baked for like 10 minutes less than the chicken and then the broccoli. So this oven was hot. This oven was really hot.
400 degrees.
I put the broccoli in and I let that go. And then I took everything out of the oven with the towel. And I set the broccoli on the stovetop, which is importantly where it was before I put it in the oven when I didn't need an oven mitt.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't at the time hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to go move my pans around so I could use different burners for different things. And I picked up the broccoli. Liftoff took place. Like, I lifted the pan off of the stove fully. I had a full, like, pressing my skin into the metal. Oh my gosh. The youch that I let out, you wouldn't even believe. But thankfully.
The youch heard around the world.
Thankfully, I'm a quick thinker. And I.
Since when?
I still threw it onto the stove and I didn't lose any broccoli.
That, I don't know if it makes you a quick thinker.
But did, because mom thought that I was going to drop it on the floor.
I think if you were really a quick thinker, as you went to reach for the pan, you would have been like, whoa, close one.
Close
and then
call.
You would have come on this podcast and been like, oh my God, guys, okay, I am a quick fucking thinker, and let me tell you how I know. And then you would have told us kind of a different story.
Right. Well, this is a story I have, and now I have wounds on both of my palms.
This is a story of a girl who grabbed a hot pan with broccoli in it, and she has some blisters on the hands, but she didn't lose any broccoli because she's a quick thinker.
Yes.
I was inventive with the rhythmic.
Can you guys think of anybody else with two wounds on the palms of their hands?
Can you guys think of anyone else who's a quick thinker?
First person to DM us the answer to that riddle.
And good luck.
We'll get a DM response from me.
Yeah, right. Good luck, by the way, finding the actual response to that riddle, because you might think you know, but the version in Phoebe's head is quite specific. So we're looking for a really specific answer, and maybe we'll give like two prizes out. The first prize will be a DM from Phoebe, gun to her head, and the second one will be, we won't answer. Just kidding. Well, Phoebe, while you were scavenging for groceries, I was in Charleston, South Carolina.
How was Giggly Squad?
Fee, I've got to tell you. Well, first, okay, I'm going to go through the weekend. So we got there on Friday and had a freaking blast. Amber is just a great little travel buddy. The plane, it did feel as though a baby put the plane in their fist and just started shaking
it
around.
You love that analogy.
That is what it felt like. So that's the best
way
to describe it.
My last plane experience, where did I go last on a plane? Oh, I flew home. Well, I flew back to Nashville. Oh my God, that was a terrible flight.
Like,
I literally, there were times where the passengers, you know when you hit turbulence so hard that then it feels like you're in the Tower of Terror for like 2 seconds because
you
essentially free fall.
Yes.
And I heard this happened multiple times on the flight, and multiple times I hear people go, huh!
There's nothing worse.
Or like the worst is when you're sitting next to like a manly man and you can see that,
and you see that he's clenching.
Gripping
you're like, oh great, so we're going down.
Yeah, literally. I was unsure at first, but it's official.
But now,
it's official.
Now,
we're
hey,
going down swinging.
Do you want to make the announcement or should I? He's like, I really have to shit.
I hit the flight attendant thing, and she's like, how can I help you? The flight attendant can fully walk around.
You're like,
I'm
microphone?
Like, okay.
Got the mic.
I don't know if you got the memo, but I just did via this osmosis, via this man.
You're like,
we're going down. But I do hate when you're on a plane and the flight attendants are told, like the pilot gets on the intercom and is like, so there is going to be a fair bit of turbulence for this flight. And I am going to have to ask the flight attendants to remain seated for the duration of the flight. Excuse me?
The
Maybe
whole
we should
time?
Be in the air then.
Oh, I love when you're actually already in the air and they're like, should be a pretty smooth flight. And then we're going. And then suddenly like, there's like a little bit of like a skeet skeet, like a little bump. And the pilot is like, and we're hitting some unexpected turbulence. If I could have all the flight attendants take a seat, thank you. We'll continue drink service when it's safe to roam about the cabin. Oh, so it's literally, it's not safe in here? What are you saying? And I don't like being misled into thinking that I'm going to be on a smooth fucking airship flight.
Just
okay?
Don't say anything.
If you're not 110% sure, just shut the fuck up. Okay? And that's honestly a good rule in general. If you're not 110% sure, just shut the fuck up is what I like to say from now on. Anyway, so I'm on this plane. Baby Palooza. There are millions of babies. They're all crying, but there happens to be this one baby in front of us who honestly, it's like when you rescue a dog and it's like, who saved who? Like, that's how I feel about this little baby. And his mother, who I wish lived here because I was like, we would totally be friends. She has this little guy. He's probably like one. And he has the biggest fucking smile on his face. Every time he sees me, he's like looking in between the seats, seeing me. And he's like, ah, like he is so happy to fucking lock eyes. And so am I. And he starts getting a little upset, like crying a little bit with the turbulence. And then he was
the
like,
the saddest thing to me with the babies on planes is like, they literally don't know what's going on. So they're just, first of all, the turbulence, they're like, oh my God, why am I shaking? And then they're like, oh my God, what's this feeling in my head and in my ears? And
I know.
They don't have, their brain is just like, it's like all that's in a baby's brain is either like a mobile over their crib, calm, uh-huh, or a red emergency siren. Before they know words, that's all that there is.
Oh.
In a plane, they're like, it's just a siren because they don't know what's going on.
But the good news, at least for me, is I don't remember a single plane I was ever on at a young age. So I think that they grow out of those memes. Like, they're like, those ones got to go.
I think they do, but in the moment, that's so sad.
I guess. Anyway, like, I'm not here to judge parents that bring their babies on planes. So,
but, I'm not.
So this little baby, though, like, the two of us are just, we're locking eyes. He's crying on the outside. I'm crying on the inside. He locks eyes with me.
You have to stay strong.
I have to stay strong for him. I was like, okay, I have a greater purpose now. Like, I know what I'm here to do. I can't lose it because he's losing it. And if I lose it, we'll both be losing it. So he's looking at me and he's losing it. And I'm like, and I give him a little smile and he just smiles so big, tears still in his eyes, like coming down. And I stick my tongue out and he goes, and sticks his tongue out. And then he's like laughing. And I was just like, oh, just come sit with me. Hang back here. Like, it, the vibes are good back here. So then he starts like kind of like grabbing the seat and like looking over and looking to the side. And at one point, like, he sort of like starts to fall. And I like reach my arm out. And so I was like, oh, you got him. Okay, you got him if he falls. Great. And I was like, okay, permission to hold the baby secured. But I didn't. But I was like, hey, jump. And he had this one
you're
little tooth.
You're behind the mother. Push him. Tooks away. You're like,
yeah, I'm like, do it. It'll be fun. I'll get you. And he has like this one teeny little tooth that's poking, like a fang, like this one little fang. And so it was just every time I started to get scared in the turbulence, I just like focused on him. And I was like, great.
We got to like be hired.
Pull it together for this
by
little
Southwest.
Guy. He was the cute. I mean, Amber and I were just absolutely in love with this little baby. He was so cute.
Was Charleston home for the baby or was Pittsburgh?
Charleston was home for the baby. It changed the whole thing. So all these people who are like, don't bring your babies on a plane. Let's redirect that energy. Don't bring your pets on a plane. Let's bring more babies as long as they pass the vibe check. And I will be giving out the vibe tests just so everyone knows. You got your security checkpoint. You have your ticketing area. And then you have the vibe check for the plane. And I will be the one who kind of like takes the temp. What's the temp of the vibes? Mm-hmm. So we land in Charleston and we get dressed super duper fast. And we went to dinner with Chloe, which was so, so fun. And then we went to the cocktail club and danced the night away to David Higgins, who, if you guys don't know David Higgins, he's a really great musician. He plays all over the place, but he's like from Charleston. And he did do All Too Well. So that was a big perk.
Kind.
It was kind. And then Clyde met us there, which was super duper fun. We learned that Amber had never heard of poppers, which is crazy. So then the next day we went to like a lunch. Oh, we went to Leon's, which is amazing. And then we had some drinks with Addie and Gibson.
I still need to go.
Chloe. Oh my God, you've never been. No, next time we're both there, we got to go. It's so good.
Well, we were going to go when we were there for the 4th of July because for some reason in my head it was on King Street. Is it?
It is. Yeah, it's just like way
but it's
up.
Like you can't really walk
there. Can't really walk there, no. It's so good. We got to do it. And then, guys, it was a dream come true. This little part of our Charleston trip was sponsored by the Fulton Lane Inn, which, guys, this hotel was so cute. First of all, it's in the best location ever, okay?
I looked at their Instagram. I couldn't, but the way that you walk up. Oh my goodness.
I know. It literally, so guys, if you're on King Street, and Phoebe, I'll put this in terms you understand, and then you guys will kind of get it too. But like, you know where the Charleston place is. So if you're walking, how could you forget?
Mom's hallowed grounds.
Yeah, never for. I told that story this weekend.
I love telling that story.
It doesn't always land
the way that I think it's going.
Well,
to.
I'm like, you guys just aren't seeing it the way I'm seeing it. And if you were seeing it like I was seeing it, you'd
it's
be
the funniest thing you've
it.
Ever heard.
Yeah,
in your whole
exactly,
life.
Exactly. So if you're walking towards the Battery and you pass the Charleston place. It is mm-hmm. like down this little alley, not a creepy alley, cute little alley, like right across from like Target, basically. And you go in, there's only one door in, but there's like this door out that where you just feel like you're walking out of your apartment, like onto King Street. And I was just loving it. I felt like I lived there. And I was like, do you know how rich I would have to be live right here? And people are just seeing me walk out. Amazing. It was right by Love Shack Fancy, which also tells you. Like,
okay, yeah, yeah.
And so literally they have like the sister property next door and every night they have complimentary wine and cheese hour. And they also have like evening sherry at any time throughout the night. So you can like come down into the lobby and like get some evening cream and sherry whenever you want, which we didn't do. I've never really had sherry except in she crab soup.
Me too.
But I thought it was so cute.
I kind of thought it was like the kind of alcohol that was like just in, like triple sec, or like I didn't think it was really like something that you like
more
drink.
Of a liqueur. No, yeah, it is a type of like liquor, but
if you didn't drink any,
yeah, I guess you put cream in it. So if anyone has info on sherry, let us know. And then we go up, and every single room is like different, and they're all like so cute.
Oh, I love hotels like that.
I know, like they're all like this super cute southern kind of vibe. Like our bed, okay, we had. I think we stayed, the room was like the deluxe king room with a fireplace. And the fireplaces work. They had working fucking fireplaces, which is so cute. Like, it was quite hot in Charleston this weekend, but I was living for it. I was like, this is what I miss so much about Charleston, is going to people's houses and, like, they have a fireplace in their room. Like, it's just so great. And we had a canopy bed, which, if you know anything about me as a little girl, that was all I
Your
wanted.
Dream.
Like, it was just so great. It had this jacuzzi bathtub. It worked with like five different like bubble, like shoot, whatever those jets. It was honestly, it was so nice. It was so cute. And my favorite part personally was they have this thing you put on the outside of your door, and it's like every single breakfast option you could want. And you circle the time and they deliver it all to your room for free. It's continental back breakfast.
Gosh.
And then you just Yes, and then you just call and press zero when you're done, and they come pick it up for you. Literally, listen to everything we got. Amber and I both did this, and we got I got like a cinnamon raisin bagel. She got an everything bagel. We got assorted pastries, yogurt, granola, fresh fruit, orange juice, like a big thing of coffee and cream, butter, cream cheese, a croissant. Like, I mean, literally, I'm not kidding. Like a little cute little goblet of ice water, because I just wanted like some refreshing ice water, which is what everyone wants.
We
at a
should
hotel.
We should stay there around the time of Thanksgiving.
I literally, yeah, I know. It was so fun. And the keys also, I felt so safe because it's like a heavy metal key. Like it's not like a, it's all just so classic Charleston. There's like a cute little like safe parking lot right next door. It just couldn't have been a better location. Like we walked to basically everything. We took an Uber to like our first restaurant, but then we
the
walked
venue
the whole rest of the night.
Gorgeous
for
where
Giggly.
Giggly Squad was.
It was. It's at the Galliard Center. So I actually got to go to like the grand opening of it, because when I was in College of Charleston, the School of the Arts did like a reception or something there for its opening, and they picked like three of their best students to go schmooze so we could get like donors. So I got to go, and it was so fun because Anna also got to go to disco. She got to go for like costuming, and so we got to go together. We were sitting at different tables, which kind of sucked, but it was an open bar, and I think I was like 20, and they didn't like card anyone. We got.
That's
so
when you know you're
drunk.
That's when you know you're in a high class place. When
yeah,
like,
they didn't
you're,
even look.
They
like
don't card you.
I was like, thank God I had a dress that I could wear to this. Like I literally had like that one purple sequin dress I wore to homecoming that we've all worn.
Yes, I wore
it
to
Snowball
1 year.
Which is so funny because when Mom bought me that dress, it was one of those like, God damn it, like it was so expensive compared to like the other dresses.
We got a lot of use out of it though.
But she was like, whatever, I don't care. We're like fighting, trying on all the dresses. She's like, I can't do this anymore.
Fine.
Like, we're just getting this dress. Like, cause we tried it on not realizing how much it was. And then we like loved it and like, oh, it sucked. And
guys,
so
I do not miss those days.
No, I do not miss those days. And
but
I don't miss the days
what,
when
I, do.
I had to go try on clothes for Phoebe.
Here's
the
what
best
I do
is when I went progress shopping for you, Mom and I. You owe me putting me through that again. Like I already did it all in high school, and then Phoebe's in high school. Mom's like, "Well, Phoebe doesn't have time to go prom dress shopping, but Caroline, you're basically the same. Can you?" I was like, "Well, yeah, we're both like literally stick thin." She was like, "Can you try on the dresses?" And because Phoebe and I have the same exact style, famously.
Caroline was like, wait, just put her in anything. She'll look great.
Just like,
she'll slip. She
was like,
slip
I can't believe
anything.
We are stressing over this. Phoebe,
but
are you kidding?
Here's what I do miss, though. I don't want Mom to hear that and be like, we don't miss that. I do miss the trips to, like, when we would go to Ross
Park.
Hey,
I miss the free clothes.
Hey, I miss the lunches at either the Nordstrom Cafe.
The Cheesecake Factory.
Nordstrom Cafe's Caesar salad is so, and it comes with one of those Parmesan crisps.
Oh, the like Parmesan
on top.
They used to have this
and they
like
have great red velvet cupcakes there.
They got rid of like my favorite. There was a sandwich there that I like. I'm not a sandwich girl, so if I really like a sandwich somewhere, you know, it's good. And so it was kind of like devastating when they took it off. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, I don't know how I got on that, but we go to the like School of the Arts thing, and then they also let us take home the floral arrangements because they were whatever, and they were like these beautiful floral arrangements. We had the best time ever.
You're in like high society Charleston,
literally.
So you like, know, it's like. The floral arrangement was $100,000.
I felt like I was in The Sound of Music, actually, because the building kind of gives like the Von Trapp house. Like it's
also kind of giving like Gossip Girl function. This yes. would be the plot of one of the episodes.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's, and it's also where I saw John Mulaney, and it's also where I saw the Chicago tour. So anyway, I was impressed when they booked the venue and we got there. Now here's where I do have a few complaints about the show, and I'll just be totally honest. Like, first of all, the show started at 7, and we assumed, because when we went to go see Hannah Berner in Pittsburgh like a few months ago, she didn't go on till like 8, and it was like, and she had an opener. We knew they didn't have an opener, but we're thinking 7:30, because all the girls weren't even in the theater yet. Like, people weren't in.
When did doors open?
7. Literally, they didn't let anyone in until 7. And they started at 7:15. And we didn't, like, hear any cheering or music or anything like that. So all these people are in the lobby. And we, like, don't think the show started. And then we go in and the show has fully been going on for, like, 10 minutes. Which was really, like, disappointing. Because it was, like, there was no, like, hey, guys,
and
go
also
inside.
Probably
the
disappointing for them.
Yeah, for them because they didn't. Yes,
into a theater that's not completely full.
I know. And the other thing was, so we sat in the second row. And we had amazing seats. And I just was like, it was not worth what we spent on those seats. Like, I wouldn't pay that again.
It was only an hour, right?
It was like 1 hour long. And I thought that was too
short. By the way, Road Warriors, if you ever give us the privilege of allowing us
to book
the
worldwide
tour, we're actually, you know those hooks in old-timey movies where they have to take people off the stage with them? That's probably what you're gonna have to do, and like you're gonna need to like call the police and say, hey, like these girls won't get off this stage.
The police come in to arrest us.
And also the doors are locked. Also well, from
like,
the outside.
Well, what's happening is like it's like in Calabar's Revenge, which we're famously getting to the time of year when we watch that, where everyone's in the theater covered in cobwebs. That's what you guys are like during our
Caroline and
show.
I are still just laughing at each other.
We're laughing at the first joke we told 72 hours ago. And you guys are like, please, we have families. And we're like, shut up. Anyway, we're like, shut up and pay attention to us. Yeah, the music starts playing like in the Oscars. But anyway, yeah, it was really short and it didn't seem like super put together. And Paige announces in the beginning that she injured herself sleeping. She got a crick in her neck, so she like couldn't turn her body. But she also didn't get up from the chair one single time. And I know she was in like this tiny, tiny skirt, but it just felt... like Hannah was up moving around.
And
Hannah,
skirt,
thank God for Hannah. And I even had a and minute.
And the skirt Christmas. That I saw, I am a little bit like.
It's summer in Charleston.
It would be more comfortable for her to be standing almost.
I
than
agree.
To be sitting. Because I feel like if you sit in that skirt, the skirt's actually just going to go around your stomach.
Yeah. And I just also didn't think like it was even cute enough for us to be accommodating it. You know what I mean? But I was thinking, I was like, you know, there are times where Phoebe or I are recording and one of us is just like, I don't have it in me right now. And the other person's like, all right, we'll take the lead for a little bit. And like, you know, whatever that happens. So I was like, maybe that is what happened here. And like Hannah was doing that for Paige, but Paige just seemed like in a mood. She seemed like annoyed to be there kind of. She was funny, but like Hannah was way funnier, which typically, when I'm listening to a podcast, I think Paige is funnier. No one from Southern Charm was there, except for Craig, who made it there. And then, like, he was trying to lay low, and the audience notices him, and they're like, Craig, like, get up there, whatever. And he goes up for a second. Paige was, like, annoyed. I have a video of it. Paige was like, what the fuck? Like,
that he like, came up or that he was
yes,
there?
Yes. That he came up. And he's, and like, what was he going to do? Like, you know, we were all thrilled that he went up there, and he goes up and he like gives her a kiss, and she's just like, okay, like she didn't even stand up from the chair when he went up on stage, and then he like went back and left. No one else was there. And then they had like
Craig's face has been plastered around Nashville for the last like month because he's doing all his stuff at the he was doing all his stuff at the home show, which is why when you called me and was thought they broke up, I was like, no, he's just got a big weekend ahead that Nashville really wants all of its residents to know about.
But he still made it back, and I felt like she was like,
and then I think he had to come back on Sunday because I'm pretty sure he spoke every day of the
thing. Wow. I bet.
I wonder if they did get in a fight. Maybe Craig told her a long time ago that he had committed to this, and then that day she realized that he wasn't going to be at the show, so she was mad at him.
I don't think so.
And then he was like, okay, well, then I'll go. And he flew in, and then he flew back, and
maybe
she was annoyed.
I don't know. I honestly don't know, but it was weird. And I was on the Reddit, and a lot of people were like, it seemed like there was tension between, like, I'm not the only one who noticed. And wait, this was actually crazy, though. So they have a segment called Is He Trash? And they bring a guy up, like a boyfriend, up from the crowd. And they ask him questions, try to figure out if he's trash. So they bring this guy up named Hunter. And he's up there, and he's on his fourth date with a girl. Which, I'm sorry, can you imagine being at a, like, Paige DeSorbo and Hannah Burner about to roast you in front of a packed Gaillard Center, and you're on a fourth date with his neighbor, their neighbors, in the same apartment complex.
Both of them are brave.
Yes. So they're talking, and the girl was in the, oh, this is actually so funny. He's sitting alone, and they're like, who brought you? Who are you with? Where's your owner? They're like, who did you come with? They did not like that there was a man alone, unaccompanied. And he's like, oh, she's in the bathroom. So they bring him up while she's in the bathroom. So when she comes back in, he's on stage. How fucking funny is that? So he goes out there, whatever. And he was like loving it a little bit too much. Like he like got a little comfy in the chair. And Hannah was like, okay, relax. Like he started like looking at the audience and like doing stuff. And Hannah goes, do not look at them. What are you? Stop it. Stop. Don't look at them.
They're not yours.
He was like, she was like, oh my God, stop. Do not look at them. And then Paige goes, do not make eye contact. Don't make eye contact with me. And like the whole time he's like, can I make eye contact? She's like, no. Like
suddenly like, she can turn her head.
She's like, that's full range. So they're like, okay, tell us about this girl. Like, tell us about you, whatever. They're like, no socks. Okay. Like red flag, but pretty much not finding a ton of red flags with this guy.
Very they're Charleston.
Like, yeah. So like, do you have any pets? He's like, yeah, I have a dog. They're like, okay, what kind of a dog? And he's like a German Shepherd. And they're like, okay. And he goes, and he only has three legs. And it was just, Hannah's like, is he a plant? Jesus Christ. They're like, Siri, of course you have a crippled dog. Like, of course. It was just so funny. So then they're like, well, tell us about your last relationship. And he says, it was 10 years long. And they're like, oh my God, like, when did you know it was over? He says 2 years in. And I know. And everyone's like, oh, and he's like, I know, like whatever. So he ends up leaving and they're kind of like, damn it. Like he wasn't trash. Okay, whatever. And I was like, okay, bring someone else up then. Like, let's just keep sifting through the audience till we find one. Come on. But they didn't. And then it's like 20 minutes later. Okay. And I'm in the second row and we're getting like, there's all this whispering behind us. And we turn around and they're like, hey, Hunter's ex is up there. Tell them. And it gets to Paige and Hannah. They're like, wait. Hunter's ex is in this room right now. And there's like, yes.
And he just told an entire room of people.
That he knew the relationship was over two years. And she was like in the way. And we're like, bring her down. And they're like, wait. How did you get that information to us? And we're literally like, we played telephone. The entire fucking theater played telephone between floors to deliver the. It's like someone was like, hang on, I know my friend's down in the 17th row. I'll text her. We'll get it down on the ground floor. And they're like moving it up. Like literally, it's like a wave of whispers to let everyone know.
Oh my God. The giggly army.
And apparently she was pissed. She was mad, but they didn't bring her up. I was like, missed opportunity not to bring her on stage. And they were like, we're not trying to do like an episode of Maury. Like we're just going to let that be. But that is the most Charleston thing we've ever heard of in our lives. And we're like, yeah. And so when Craig came up, he was like, that was the most Charleston thing that like ever, like you can't. But so funny. And then people were talking about it on the Giggly Squad Reddit. They're like, all right, who has tea on Hunter? Like his ex was there. Let's talk about it. Blah, blah, blah. Crazy. It was really funny.
Man, they should have had a zip line in there. I watched
like in every single auditorium from here on out, they do. Just in case, like, I get some hard. Like, I'm like, if they don't talk about that on Giggly Squad, I'm going to be so annoyed. The other thing that was so giggly coded that happened is we're driving there and I'm Amber and I are in an Uber, okay, with a man. And he's like, do you guys see that car? And we look, there is a BMW with cheater, ho, bitch, fuck you, spray painted in neon orange all over the BMW driving through the streets of Charleston. I've never seen anything like it. I was like, is this paid promo for the Giggly Squad show tonight? Like,
I wouldn't be like, it gives like the car that would like tour with them.
Yeah, no, literally. Like they would park outside the venue just to like generate buzz. It was so funny. Like, and we do think that it was probably like a woman driving the car because it said ho and bitch. And, you know, and sure, gender neutral terms, but often ascribed to a woman. But I said,
but in a different way. In a different way. I still think it's a man.
You do?
Yeah.
You're such a little bitch. The woman could be calling the other woman that. Maybe it's, I hope it's not the other woman's car. We don't need to be taking the anger out on the woman. Go, girls. Anyway.
Girls, stop.
So I see the car and I go, good for her. And he goes, well, it could be a woman driving that car. And he goes, I'm going through a divorce right now. And apparently my wife had a lot of boyfriends. And we're like, okay. We're like,
okay, let's get you on stage. Do you want to come in the show with us?
We're like, and we're not really your target audience. I'm inclined to think you did something wrong anyway. So just let me out here. But then I posted it on our story and Paige DeSorbo responded.
Rock and roll.
To the Pretty Little Podcast story saying this is so giggly coded, which
maybe she saw. Maybe she saw before the show that there were going to be clout chasers in the audience and she decided to play back.
The other thing that was, I thought, hilarious. Okay, so Craig dated Naomi Alindo, or I don't know how you say her last name, but her family owns like a few restaurants and they own Saltwater Cowboys on Shem Creek. And it's right next to Red's. And Paige was like, so my favorite restaurant, like when Craig used to take me on dates, like he would take me to this place called Red's. And I really like that. And then like there's.
Which
like
if you guys have been to Charleston.
It's not a Paige DeSorbo.
It doesn't scream Paige DeSorbo.
No, it does not. It's like a divey, half outside, like
you
bar.
Like eat on newspaper.
Yeah, like it's very. I don't know. So, but I can so see Craig being like, see, look, we're down to earth here. We're just
eating on the water. We're just eating on the water.
Simple old Southern people. Like that's like, and like Craig's from Delaware, but okay. And then Paige was like, and there's like this place like next door called like Cowboy something. And I like that place too. And we were just like, did Craig not tell her that his ex-girlfriend of years, who Paige like has issues with, owns that place? It's so
and
funny
it
to think
it was
of.
Probably not even in a way where Craig's like, I need to keep this from her. It's just like he didn't think about it.
Well, no, I bet it was like this. I bet they were going to Red's and Craig's like, we're not going to need a wait. Like, this is my reservation. We're not going to need a wait. And they go
meanwhile,
in.
Meanwhile,
like,
you walk into Red's and they're like, we stopped taking names 2 hours
yeah,
ago.
Literally.
And it's like, you get there at 6 p.m. and they're like, we're booked. We're booked through the end of the night.
Yeah, literally. So I bet they went in and they were like, well, if you want somewhere to wait, like you can go grab a drink next door at Saltwater Cowboys. And then like, we'll call you over. And so Craig was probably like, okay. And he's just like not saying anything and hoping it doesn't come up, I feel like. Or he was like waiting to see if Paige knew. But I did try to go to Red's this weekend. And I ate shit walking in. So then I walked right back out.
Did y'all end up eating there?
No, I just said I walked right back out. I literally.
Well, I know, but I didn't know if it was like a wait situation.
No, I walked in. I started walking in. And it was like torrential.
You fell in the restaurant?
Yes. Yes. It was torrential downpour.
Airline
and it's all
walked
wood.
Into
it's all wood. It's slippery.
Just to fall. No. She walked in just to fall. Didn't say anything to anybody. Walked right out.
Like
and
really
like, oh,
no
I guess,
one's paying any
I guess
attention.
That was a performance. I guess that was just a performance.
They're like, wait, was that the world famous podcaster from the Pretty Little Podcast, Caroline? And I'm
where
like, no.
Did you end up eating there at Shem Creek?
Don't ask me again.
I mean. In Shem Creek.
Yes. But we walk in, Phoebe, and the wood was so wet that it was literally like when a cartoon character like slips on like a banana peel and their feet just like fly Like I went down hard, and there was a table of people right there.
What were you wearing?
Oh, a skirt. And there
you were. Wait, was this the day on the trip you actually wore the skirt after Paige wore it at the show?
Yeah, I was wearing Paige's skirt as a sweatband around my wrist.
Yeah.
But I like literally hit the ground with such force. Oh my God, the soaking wet ground. And I look over and like they're just like a group of people, like some grandparents even. I was like, you guys don't even look concerned. They literally look at me. They just like
wow.
Keep like just another their
just
suit.
Another fucking loser walking in the reds.
I was like, okay, I was so embarrassed. I was like, and actually it hurt so bad. That was going to be like the straw that broke the camel's. Like I was about to just like start sobbing.
Broke your back.
You know what I mean? Like I was like, not this too. Like this is too much. I've officially lost it. And I was in so much pain. I was like, I'm sorry, Amber, we have to, like, I can't walk in this. I can't walk any further inside this restaurant. So we went back in the car and I sat there for like 10 minutes and just like kind of like regrouped, and then we went into another restaurant.
That was it. That was the guy.
I hate you. I'm not telling you. You're going to have to find out for yourself one day, maybe, if you can freaking afford it.
I'm not good. I'm not into it.
You don't even know if you should be.
I don't think I'd want that.
Well, it's like the people who get it, I guess.
Right. Sorry, I'm in a different tax bracket than you.
Seems like it right now. Really seems like it right now.
Did you finish Selling Sunset?
I didn't finish it yet, but wow.
What do you know so far?
Okay, so, guys, spoilers for the new season of Selling Sunset, okay? Just so you know. Follow the timestamps if you don't want to know yet. Things I know. Number one, Bree telling Chelsea about Chelsea's husband cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole's thing about Emma.
I hate
Nicole.
When people do what Nicole did. Nicole's the new Davina, but almost
but
worse.
No, not almost. A 1,000%
Davina was like, I didn't want her on my screen. Like she was like, there was nothing
without it redeemable.
There was
about
something
her.
Different about her that made her more unlikable than Nicole. Nicole though is still just as bad. But I hate when people are out with a group of people and then they bring something up that then everybody's like, oh wait, we shouldn't. And Nicole's like, no, I know. I'm just saying that like,
and it's I couldn't. Like, and then she says it. And then she says it anyway. I was like, okay, this is where I know Nicole is actually a diabolical person, because she's sitting there with the cameras all around her. Mm-hmm. No, because that's the other thing. It's not like she just brought it up with a group of people. She brought it up on fucking camera.
In front of this girl she's known for, like,
this brand new person. And she's taking advantage of the situation where she's like, okay, well, right now, a lot of them might be feeling some sort of way towards these people. So if I, you know, because they didn't show up. So if I share this story now, maybe I could win her allegiance before they have a chance to, sort of, is what I see, like, her mind doing. Yeah. But the fact that Amanda was like, Nicole, no. And Nicole's like, no, I know. I'm just. And Mary's like, wait, what? And Nicole's like, you know. And, like, says whatever, Jess or whatever the girl's name. Mary's like, stop. And they're both literally telling her to stop, and she will not do it. And that's how I know.
And it's not about protecting the other women in the situation.
No.
It's just about her wanting to have a storyline and have this like way to take down Emma and Chriselle, because she doesn't understand how they've maintained their likability the entire time they've been on the show.
And sometimes when I'm watching Emma, I'm also like, how?
Yes, I agree. But it's because of Chriselle. I think Chriselle makes her redeemable. I still really like Chriselle. And I think that she has the best take when it comes to the Bree Chelsea situation. Emma's being too blindly.
Who? Okay, I mean, so honestly, I don't know.
What?
So here's, and again, I haven't finished it yet, but here's sort of like my take on that. So for those of you who don't know, or whatever, the spoiler we're talking about is Bree basically finds out from her friend Amanda that who works at the W Hotel or lives at the W Hotel that they saw Chelsea's husband making out with a girl multiple times at the W Hotel. And Bree and Chelsea do not get along. They have history. And like Bree is like, why the fuck do I have to be the one to have this information? Now, here's the thing. I don't know if I think she needed to bring it up on camera. Like, I just am like, that's where
I don't believe that she knew. I really don't
believe that.
I don't think Bree knew where that conversation was going.
Wait, with Chelsea?
With Amanda. And I think that at that point, Bree was like, it's already on camera and they're obviously going to use it. And I think Bree did the right thing. And here's how I know that, like, I think Emma is the reason Chelsea now is so mad about. Chelsea's now projecting her anger towards the situation
at Bree.
To Bree. And Emma's given her permission to do that.
Yeah.
Because Emma, before Emma said, why'd she bring it to camera? Chelsea hadn't even considered that. Chelsea, I think, like, at the Brokers Open when Amanda, when it was pouring at Amanda's Brokers Open, they seemed like they were honest. It felt like Chelsea could look at Bree and kind of, like, breathe a little bit because she knew that someone like else that knew. Too. So I feel like Emma maybe didn't like that now there could be a reason for Bree and Chelsea to get along. And Chrishell, to me, is always, typically, she has the most rational reaction to things. Mm-hmm. And I think Chrishell sees that Bree, I don't think there was, because I think Bree could have gone, Bree could have made this so much worse. Yeah, if she really wanted to be diabolical, she would have been. But she, I think, was actually trying to look out for Chelsea.
I do too. And I'm wondering, like, I just remember, like, these text messages. I, like, can't remember this like, conversation with Amanda.
Well, so they were at some showing and Bree gets a call from Amanda.
Oh, it's a phone call.
And Amanda's like, I have tea, but she doesn't say who it's about on camera. Like, we don't know what it's about.
Well, so,
and then that's they go to sit down and it's the first Bree is hearing about who it's about and what it's about.
Oh, okay.
And
now
Bree, then in her confessionals, she's like, I mean, I don't know what to do with, like, I don't want to have to now carry,
but
I think she thought she was gonna get, like, Chelsea stole a listing from an agent at a different agency or so. Like, I thought it was gonna be something like
that.
But
here's the thing. How much time passed between that phone call and them sitting down together? I'm sorry, like, in that world, it would be very hard for me to believe that. I'm sorry, Amanda's not on the show. Why would we need to have this conversation on camera?
What Bree ends up saying is that production got in touch with Amanda and Amanda texted Bree and was like, we're filming this day on, like, Wednesday of the week or whatever. And Bree's like, okay, and we'll talk about it. So I think maybe the phone call happened between Bree and Amanda and production got in touch with Amanda about filming that, thinking that maybe it would, I mean, production probably, they didn't care what it was about. But I think I don't think Bree anticipated it being as,
but, like, I don't understand.
As it was.
No, I don't understand why she wouldn't have asked before they filmed. Like, I'd be like, hey, give me, like, a little bit of something so that I, you know, just to make sure. Like, it's crazy to me if she didn't do that. I think that's insane.
I don't know. I didn't think it was that crazy.
You wouldn't, really, Phoebe, wait, think for a second.
Well, I would definitely,
no, wait,
I would,
wait,
but not
wait,
for that reason.
Let me, hang on. Let's say I call you. And I'm like, oh, I have something, like, crazy to tell you about Mimi. Or I don't know. I'm trying to, I don't want to, like, name people in your life that you don't like. But let's say I, like, chose someone that you didn't like. And I would be like,
by the way, guys, Mimi is not on that list.
No, that's what I'm saying. But it's like, if I were like, okay, yeah, we'll talk on Wednesday. We have 3 days between now and then. You're not asking. You're not asking production. You're not, like, talking at all in between. I would be like, what is, wait, so, okay, production wants to talk about it, but can you tell me, like, what it is? Because if I were Bree, I'm like, I want to make sure I'm cool with whatever you're going to say being on camera.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, I don't understand
that
there was no communication. That seems shady.
But I think the only reason I believe what Bree is saying is because Bree doesn't strike me as a liar. I think if she wanted it to, if she, If it was as messy as Emma's saying it is, I think she would just be honest about it.
Maybe. I don't know. I really
liked Brie this season, if I'm being honest.
More so than last season, but last season you really didn't like her. Like, you hated her. So I do think that doesn't mean that, like, she's not... Having a good season doesn't mean she's a good person and that she wouldn't
I'm not saying she's a good person, but I just think that in this specific instance, I think Emma is exploiting it a little bit too much. And I think that it's...
But wait, okay, so now I have to tell you my next thought about Emma, personally her. Now, if this storyline that Nicole's perpetuating is true, that Emma is sleeping with a married man, if I'm Emma... I can't have people like Brie in my life. If I'm Emma, you are a threat to me. And you're doing shit like this, and I'm already hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us, or both of us, but usually one of us, might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it, thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So, Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today. So paranoid, and I don't trust anyone around this reality show world. If I'm Emma and I'm in the wrong, and I know I am, and I don't want that brought to camera, I can't have people like that. Like, it's what she says. She's like, I can't have people like that in my life. Now, I hope that's not true about Emma, but I just can imagine to be like, we have to put ourselves in these people's shoes where, like, you can't trust anybody, you know? And it's like, at any minute, you have to assume that there are people who will put their morals aside to expose you in exchange for something. And just because you wouldn't do it doesn't mean that they wouldn't. And you have to assume, like, and also just the number of times that it's like, okay, we're all like, who the fuck can we trust? Like, look around at all these crazy people here, and everyone is so two-faced, and like, how are they just going to edit everything together? I mean, I just feel like I would be so wary. And if that ends up being true, that would make sense for me, for just for Emma, for like why she would be reacting this way. I'm not saying she's right for it, but I can understand why she would feel that way.
Don't you think Chrishell would?
But I do think, I know. That's the other thing. I'm like, I feel like if Chrishell knew that about Emma, Chrishell would be like, would not be supporting Emma through that. But again, then we don't know the situation. So like, who is the married man? Like, what? The thing, I don't know. But the other thing is, they did, like, I feel like the production team, Adam DeVille, they are trying very, very hard to make Chrishell and Emma seem like the villains. And Chelsea.
Emma, not, for sure. I don't think they're
succeeding, but I think they're trying to make it look like those three are the mean girls, and like they're the ones who aren't showing up for the office. And like, the problem is, I think the people who are doing these edits believe that, and we don't. So when we're watching it, we see right through it. But when they're on the editing table, they're like, this is what we see. This is what we believe. Because I feel like Adam DeVille and Mary and Jason and all these people are like on the same side. And then like on the other side, we have like Chrishell and Chelsea and Emma. It's sort of how I feel this season, especially after the social media antics we've seen since the release.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do wonder where Chrishell and Brie stand now after seeing what Brie and Nicole were talking about the Emma situation. But you see that that's the last episode. Nicole and Bree talk about that. Very briefly. The finale was very lackluster, I felt.
Really? Because the season is great. But what the actual fuck is going on with the outfits, Emma? I'm talking to you. She is in like Little Bo Peep cosplay one day, then Cinderella cosplay the next day. It's not reading for me. I felt like we were going to a costume party.
All of them. I hate all of
them. Chelsea has some crazy hair moments too, but like, you know, this, I think I sent you the one picture.
I really hate the trend of the like 2000s glasses, like the thin.
Oh, you do?
I think sunglasses
are regular.
Regular, especially. I don't love the sunglasses either, but that's a me preference. But I think on everybody, like Billy does it when she wears those fucking little glasses. The eyeglasses, I think it looks bad and I think it's going to be dated. And like, I think it already is dated.
Yeah.
Not every trend has to come back just because we're bringing back some things from those eras.
I know. Yeah, it's true. It is. Well, you know who's driving me up a fucking wall is Amanza. And she wore the glasses, I think, right?
No, I'm talking about Chelsea.
Oh, I care less about Chelsea. I think Chelsea's looks great. What did you think about Mary with the outfit thing at the brokers? Mary, your whole midriff is exposed.
I agree. I mean, Chelsea's outfit was a little short, but I'm like, that's the show.
And she also was wearing, she had like little bloomers on underneath. Like she had like, it's not like she was exposed. Yeah, I didn't think she was exposed.
It felt like it came out of nowhere. I don't know. Maybe the open was going badly for footage and they needed to like spice it up.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. I think they're like in cahoots. I literally think like Adam DeVello and Mary and maybe Brett and maybe Nicole are all, because they were all before, you know what I mean? And it makes me feel like Mary went into this broker's open so pissed off at Chelsea for not being there. And in my mind, production told Chelsea when to arrive. You know what I mean? Like production tells you guys when to show up.
Probably had them down on that car and they were like, this will be great footage. Absolutely. Like, come down here and do this.
And they're like, oh, she must have gotten stuck in traffic. She lives right next door. And it's like, they are absolutely controlling there because they're filming everybody walking in. They have to know exactly when they're getting there.
I also feel that way about the Amanza and Chrishell thing, which I felt like they thought the audience was going to be like, I can't believe Chrishell cares this much.
Wait, which thing? About
the homophobic comments. Oh. Well, that thing with Nicole, we can talk about in a second, but initially with Amanza. This is another pet peeve that I have with people. Is like, Amanza and I, we would never get along.
No, me neither.
She's so annoying to me. But I do hate when people like use their luckness of their life.
Yes.
To like get out of things and to consistently look at Chrishell, who's been affected by this man's comments.
Yeah.
And who was sticking up for her partner, and to be like, I mean, I get it, but it's just he's literally the reason I breathe. He's the reason that I'm breathing right now. It's like, shut up.
Like, when she's like, over yourself. He's actually like helping me for free right now. So, and it's like, I'm sorry, Amanza, you have been on this show since season 2. I no longer accept that as an excuse. Like, find another person to help you with your style or whatever he's helping you with. Like, find somebody else. He's helping you for free. Like, you don't have to accept free help. You have the means, you know, like you do at this point, or you should. So I feel like that is always Amanza's thing is, like, she's got her down on her luck thing that gets her out of whatever fucking shit she did that wasn't cool, or like even if she's not the one, because oftentimes I feel like Amanza's not the one who like outwardly does it, but
yeah,
I just feel like she consistently finds herself on the wrong side of things, and
she thinks she's like being the like moral compass of all these situations because she feels like she's the one who's still down to earth, and it's like,
I don't.
Sorry, Chrishell's always going to be the one who's down to earth. Chrishell never comes in wearing these crazy fucking outfits. She still looks normal.
Sometimes she has fun outfits on, but she always looks good. She's generally kind. Like, I do feel like she's the most relatable also in terms of just, I don't know. And also, you know, I think it's really, she honestly has done such an incredible job of handling the way that she has kind of unexpectedly come out as a queer person in mm-hmm. in the media and in pop culture, and how much of a shock this was to people when it happened. And, you know, I think she even had kind of an added hurdle where it's like, it's not even, you know, like she's just exploring anything.
She's like now fully expected to answer. She's also, because of G Flip's identity, Chrishell is expected to answer for a lot of stuff that for a while in their relationship, she was also having to figure out for the first time. And now she's expected to be like this glad spokesperson all the time.
Right.
And it's like she's still figuring it out. And then she also has to deal with people in her office either saying homophobic things, liking homophobic things, or associating with homophobic people, or people that are just ignorant to who G Flip is, which is its whole a whole added issue. But the stuff right. with Nicole, I really, when Jason like put his foot down in the office,
oh yeah,
and was like, stop
defending yourself. Stop it. Just say
you're sorry. And then Nicole has to leave the office because she's so overwhelmed by being called out for
being
homophobic.
Because she cannot apologize. I loved when Chrishell said, when Nicole's like, you say these things that are so nasty and untrue. And Chrishell goes, and untrue. Like, I thought it
was also like, sorry, there's a difference in this office between saying things that are nasty mm-hmm. in terms of this reality show and you going online yes. and encouraging
yeah.
people to say these things that aren't just attacking Chrishell's character no. on the show. They're attacking who she is and also this person
and
who didn't
partner.
Sign up to
right.
be on the show.
Exactly.
She flips out on Selling Sunset.
Exactly. And I thought that was like, that's another thing, is it's not even that Chrishell ends up, you know, getting out of the relationship with Jason and she debuts a relationship with, you know, someone who identifies as a woman. That alone would have been a challenge for her, you know? And it's like, she, as Phoebe said, is now also suddenly a spokesperson for, you know, the non-binary community, which she doesn't ascribe to, you know, but her partner is non-binary. And I think it's like, it's just this added kind of layer of hardship, I feel like, that Chrishell has experienced probably in bringing this to the public.
And she's not allowed to, anytime she brings it up, the other person makes themselves the victim.
Right.
Amanda makes herself the victim in that situation.
Right.
Because he's literally helping me breathe. He's the reason I'm breathing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that, when she said that, I was literally like, you are so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
That is so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Nicole has to leave and storm out and cry and
Chrishell's
say it's
just
because,
like, sitting
get
there
over it.
Like, I can't, okay.
Like, I have to deal with this every day.
Yeah,
you have to deal with people calling you on your actual character.
Right. And that's what, like, I just want to applaud Chrishell for over the past few seasons, the way that she has, you know,
really come into herself
and been able to champion the queer community while still standing up for herself. And still also, like, you know, I feel like there was this assumption that a lot about Chrishell would change and who is she going to be now? And it's like, she's still Chrishell. Like, she just loves who she loves.
She's the exact same person she has been since season one.
And how amazing
that
she is.
That's a lot more than anybody else in the show can say.
I mean, literally, like, she's undergone probably the most significant changes out of anybody on the show. And is still, like, so true to herself, which is why the show consistently, you can try and make her not the main character, but I care the most about what she's doing. I just do. And I
always
think she's done a really amazing job of, like, also starting this conversation in spaces where it wasn't happening, especially surrounding G Flip and just, like, you know, identifying.
Because if you think about the people that were watching, this show, there probably wasn't a huge viewership from people in that community necessarily.
No, especially, and maybe people who, because I feel like society over time,
it's like the Bachelor kind of people watching this.
Yes,
and those
yes.
are historically more, not always, not making a generalization, but they like their cookie cutter reality show. And they weren't expecting that. Chrishell, especially because she was married to Justin Hartley, mm-hmm. who was like the This Is Us heartthrob.
Yes.
Like, there are these people that were rooting for her, and now maybe for the first time in their life, they're confronted with like someone that they love now is in a community that, because they haven't had to empathize or they haven't had to love someone in that community, now they're like, oh, like, I get it.
Right.
I had maybe had some problematic views now, but because I love Chrishell and because I love her character and now she's a member of the community, I have this reason to be an ally.
Yes.
Now.
And that's why it's so important, like what she's doing, and that these storylines get to be shown. And it's really disappointing. I was reading Chrishell's post that like she and G flipped a bunch, or I was about to say she and G flipped a bunch of poems. That's what was about to come out of my mouth.
Wait, HGTV? $1 million contract to them.
Oh my God, I love it. But
I think it should just be called G Flips.
G Flips. Wait, I literally love that. Anyway, what was I just saying though? Something about, Chrishell wrote that she and G filmed a bunch of stuff together that like didn't get shown and like didn't make it in.
That's
and, like,
really interesting.
And she was like, you know, she was like, thank you so much, G, for filming. I know how hard this is for you and how out of your comfort zone it is. And like, I'm just glad that we got to have that footage for ourselves, because it was about their, like, I'm pretty sure about their journey to have a baby, like topics that really would have been special and interesting and important and poignant, you know, on the show.
I also think with this show, and I've said this before and I'll say it a trillion times. I am tired of the 11 episode seasons of shows.
25 or up.
You guys have the footage. Selling Sunset.
Yeah.
It's not like we wouldn't watch it. It's not like we're more likely to shoot it to number one when it's
just
only 10
play
episodes
it uncut.
Long.
We'll watch it. We watch the live feeds. We'll watch it.
I'm tired of it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they could have easily give us 13 episodes instead of 11 and include the stuff with G-Foot. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's important that, because right, like what's so easy to do to people like G-Flip and people in the LGBT community is to other them because you don't see them.
Yeah.
And to be like, it's easy to say that they don't, like they're not, they can't have like a family in the way that a straight person can. Mm-hmm. Different things like that. And to put these labels on them, like they're not family oriented. They're not this, they're not that, because you're not seeing them.
Right.
So it's easy to just say all these things about them. But if you're actually confronted with a show that you like and you're having to see that G-Flip and Chrishell are actually going through something very similar to something like Tim Walz and his wife went through, It makes it much harder for you to then attack who they are.
Right. And view them as the other. Exactly. And it's also like, you know, just imagine being a person who's watching this show and maybe like, you know, you're learning about yourself through watching Chrishell's journey, and you realize there are options available to you that you weren't familiar with, or you see somebody, you know, it's like there's a reason that
these stories are important. Like with Selena and her Vanity Fair interview. Like it's the same reason it's important for someone to talk about why they can't have children. It's also important to talk about what it looks like to have children.
What
in
the
a bunch
different,
of different
journeys
ways.
Look like. Exactly. So anyway, I'm loving it. I'm sad I'm about to finish it, but you know, I'll be rewatching because that shit stays on a loop. But should we talk about Big Brother at all? I'm like, I kind of was checked out last week because I'm mourning the loss of Tucker.
But I do think what Tucker has given the house an opportunity to do is now we're seeing how everybody else is. They're much better game players. Than
you have to strategize now. Yeah. Because it's like an open playing field now. It's like any, you know, you can kind of do anything.
Yeah. Leah's a fucking legend. And I also love that now they've decided that like, Angela is a pawn in a way that is like so beneficial to Angela.
Oh
like
my God,
Angela,
yes.
Like she'll get put up and then someone else will do something in the week and they'll be like, well, actually,
we'll just
it's
bring
good
it
for
out.
My
yeah.
game to keep you here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm going to use the veto on you. The fact that we went from the first eviction night, Mackenzie and Leah saying, Matt, we're doing this for you. We're going to get Angela out of the house as soon as possible. And now back-to-back weeks, they've used their veto on Angela.
So fucking funny.
Like, Quinn is leaving before Angela.
Does Quinn know he's leaving, do you think?
I haven't watched the feeds today. I think he was stressing yesterday, but I don't think the veto had been used yet yesterday.
Oh my God. Watching. There's no way he'll save
it. But it's official now. And if they're, I'm sorry, if it's between Chemo and Quinn, the girls are saving Chemo.
They're saving Chemo.
I mean, he was able to switch Mackenzie last week.
They are. They're. That was actually wild. I was like,
At first I did skip through Chemo's. I kind of skipped through the speeches because they make me cringe.
Yeah.
Like having to watch them fight for their life.
This is my dream. Yeah. Sometimes they have the best speeches where they like spill and they're like, just so you all know, you keep me in the house. Here's what. And they will just start like.
Like, I would much rather that happen.
I know.
But so I knew that Joseph was going to be fucking delusional in his speech, and Chemo, I was just like, I can't hear you breathe. And then Mackenzie is the first one to evict, and she does her whole little fucking performance.
I know. I was like, what is going on? And then when she said,
and then
like,
I saw
his speech
on Twitter, and I was like, oh, she was like, I need to be an ally.
She literally was like, I can't kick him out knowing what he stands for in this house.
I was like, okay, Mackenzie.
I was like, all right. Serve like work.
Okay,
wait,
MJ?
Wait. Okay, not me. Like team MJ. MJ, I want you to win. Like,
I feel like a couple weeks ago I was like, I fucking hate Leah. I fucking hate MJ. Yeah. And now I'm like, my top three are probably, and the chats don't like Mackenzie.
Oh, really?
But I like her right now. I mean, I don't.
I like her right
necessarily
now.
Enjoy her, but I think she's making things interesting.
I
my top three
forth.
Would be them: Angela, Leah, Mackenzie.
Yeah. I would also like to see
T-Core
Chelsea win. I think that...
I think Chelsea could win.
I do too.
But I think she's, after Quinn, she's the next biggest threat.
I would agree. Or T-Core. I can't believe T-Core and Chemo haven't found themselves on that block together.
Me either. Oh
but now God. they will. They're probably, what they're going to do is get someone up there and then like backdoor...
Leah said that she's going, if she wins HOH this upcoming week, she's going to do, I guess, what someone else did at a earlier season, and she's just going to lock herself in. She was like, I already know exactly who I'm putting on the block, so I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm just going to lock the door and not let anybody in the room.
Oh my God. I don't know if that's a good idea. Like, I think about that a lot, you know, because I'm like, you don't want to have a messy HOH. Like, you don't want to have...
No.
An HOH.
I don't want to go with the house.
Yeah, so it's kind of beneficial. Like, if you aren't talking to anyone, then
but
that
as
gives
you get
them
down to the
all
wire,
an opportunity.
Though, is it like,
but that gives everyone else an opportunity to go talk about you.
I guess that's true.
And, like, team up against you. Just because you can't go
Angela
home this week doesn't mean you can't go home next week.
Angela was like, well, Leah, if you do that, you should announce it on the same spot I did my Crazy Eyes performance.
She's like, I'll help you write the script if you want.
Really?
Well,
I only do it in night vision.
Until she heard Leah and Quinn sneaking in the room the other night. And she said, that was so fucking funny. I love night vision. Angela, I love it. All right,
Angela's
did you have
so
anything
funny,
in the
funny.
Note?
Yeah, but. It's not like pressing, and we've been talking for a while.
Okay, she's absolutely sick of me. She's sick and tired of me, her sister, which is crazy. We haven't spoken, I feel like, in a long time. Well, I have to ask you about something. Okay, I've avoided it long enough. What did you think about? I believe anything called love. Tell us another rhythm of my heart. Give it a song on out. At the US Open. No way you didn't see it.
No, I did see it.
Okay. I know you didn't want me to bring it up here. I know you didn't want me to.
Guys.
How are we not going to talk about
seen me?
Yeah. But on one hand, she is embarrassing Phoebe. On the other hand, she is making me proud because baby girl is serving in her new clothes. Did she get a new stylist?
Well, someone said this past weekend is what happens when your publicist and stylist are on vacation. Because they're like, I mean, maybe Taylor should be dressing herself.
But I love what she's wearing.
I think she was in Gucci a couple times this
she
weekend,
was.
And so was Travis. So I think that she's being styled by Gucci and not by her stylist.
Iconic. I love it. Keep doing it. She's looked great. She looked like a bad bitch. Not going to lie. I think she had a little work done. I don't hate it.
But they just kind of, they're kind of annoying me.
They were kind of annoying there, but it's also like, no, they were totally annoying, and I may be just making excuses for myself because, like, I need this, but I was watching it, and I was like, she just like is having so much fun, like with her person.
I agree with that.
You know, like, and they're and they're both okay with this. Like, they're okay with us making fun of them.
I think I just preemptively
see the response.
I'm like, I am embarrassed because I know everybody else is going to be embarrassed, and I have to answer for that. But I do think that
it's so good to see her having fun and enjoying her fucking life.
I am like, I do. Anytime I'm like embarrassed by them, I have to remind myself of what her relationship with Joe looked like.
I know.
And not to say like, I don't want to put all the fault on him, because there were a lot of times where she was saying that she also liked the privacy, but now she's with someone who's like not and doesn't need that. Like, he actually loves being the center of attention. Right. She's like, okay.
Well, and I think also
this can be
like,
fun too.
It's like, you can like a private life all you want, but the reality is you don't have one. And so, unfortunately, Taylor Swift is never going to have that kind of private life. So it becomes a matter of her living her life or not. You know, that's what I think it starts to become.
I did have a moment watching her and Travis. I was like, wow, she really found her person. And then I was like, wait, this is giving what Sex and the City gave to me in terms of giving perspective to my life. She has dated, and I'm not slut shaming, obviously.
No.
But like, she has dated so many people, and like, it just put life, because I was like, she still is young and in love at 34, 33. And I'm like, wait,
she's not even engaged. You have time.
Like, I'm at the age she was at when she was like dating, like, I mean, people that we don't even remember.
She wasn't even dating Joe yet. Like, yeah.
It was like, it puts that into perspective of like, whoa.
Yes. It's just,
we're
like,
so young.
It's so true. No, I know. It's so, honestly so true. And the older you get, the more you'll look around at people and be like, wait, that's how old you are? Like, and you'll be like, oh my God, I still think you're so young. So like, that means I'm young.
A tweet about Sex and the City. Someone was like texting, and they were like, I just watched Sex and the City. Like, I just started watching Sex and the City again. And I'm like suddenly okay with being single in my 30s. And the response text was, you're in your 20s.
That's so funny.
Okay, so you can actually be extra okay with where you are, because you're not even
in your 30s. So I'm glad you're gonna be okay with it when you eventually reach your 30s. But for now, I think let's just live in the moment. Thanks. Anthony hates when I tell him to live in the moment, but it's my favorite thing to say. I love saying it to him and my students. He's just like, when are we gonna do this? When are we gonna live in the moment?
Anyway, do you want to do our rotations?
Sure. Wait, am I on Dream?
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. Well, guys, we are really scraping the bottom of the barrel for this one today. Okay, first up on my dream blend rotation are bedroom doorbells, which you probably don't remember. This was a very Y2K thing. Bring it back. Bring back bedroom doorbells. Doorbells. Dead as a doornail. Doorbells. Wait, how good was when Chelsea said, cool her now.
Chelsea
is super villain.
I also was like, wait, I have to rewind, because what Emma said must have been absolutely crazy. And then I rewind it, and I rewound it. And
like,
I
okay, I missed something.
Because the way she said it, I was like, did we just get like earth-shattering information about Brie? I didn't know about.
It's so fucking funny.
All Emma said was like, maybe she knew that this was going to be brought up on camera.
Literally.
And
Call her. Call her now.
End of episode. Sorry, I needed a little bit more meat on that bone for Chelsea to say that.
It's so, it eats though. It's so good. I also love when Chelsea goes, I want it all. I want everything. She goes, I want everything. I want fucking everything. Can you blame me? I just love her voice. Like, I love
that
her.
That was so, the way you just, your British accent there was very Annie. Not Annie the orphan. Annie from The Parent Trap.
I have class and you don't. Anyway, so bedroom doorbells used to be this thing that they were so, so fun. It was like a little like electronic thing you stuck to your door, and you would like just ring it, and they were like pink and like fun, and you could put decals and shit on them. And I want
maybe
one.
Ring should bring that back
for kids. Bedroom doorbells for kids from
or
Ring.
Just like cute Ring doorbells.
Oh, maybe
eventually they're gonna have to find a way to make Ring doorbells not look like you have you live in literally a smart home on the moon.
Well, I think that's the point. They want potential intruders to believe this. They're like, oh, we can't invade that house. They live on the moon.
But I think they're going to have to make them so that they look good on the outside of a house.
Okay.
Like the way the actual doorbells look.
Well, I do think.
And I think that we're getting to a point where we can create a camera small enough to do that.
And there you have it. Phoebe said she is getting to a point where she can do that. She said we, and that includes her. The proverbial you. Okay, so next up is the wet floor sign phenomenon. Like, let's bring those back. Because let me tell you, if there had been a wet floor sign in Reds, maybe I wouldn't have Caroline? A skin knee.
I think nature gave you the wet floor
sign. No, it was pouring. I was indoors.
Yeah, but you would just come from outside.
So it wasn't pouring on the inside. Put a wet floor sign up. Why are Reds you is famously anti hop inside, me outside. Today? Why are you anti me? Everything I say, you're like, let me just play devil's advocate for a second. Maybe you should have just fucking been careful. Like, how about I could sue their ass, put up a wet floor sign.
Then do it.
Oh, my God. All right. And then next up is Chelsea Laws. Connie, your turn.
Is that her last name?
Yeah.
Are you mad at me now?
Are you frozen or are you just being a bitch? I can't tell.
Can you hear me?
Okay, frozen. So anyway, it's time for your rotation, though. So go ahead.
First is Joseph from Big Brother.
First is Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Kind of an attention
and
grabber.
Yellow and green and brown. Wait, really quick though. I know you're doing your thing.
Joseph was kind of an attention whore.
No, really quick. Gibson is like about caught up to where we are in the show right now. So she hasn't listened to the episode yet, but she sends me like live reactions to the episode sometimes. She just watched the one where Spencer says ice cream. And Gibson sends me, she's like, can someone tell me why Spencer Hastings just said ice cream? Like, ice cream? She said, oh, we're going in an ice cream factory. She like clocked it. Then 5 minutes later, she goes, okay, the writers needed crate time season 5 because last episode we were burning Caleb in a kiln. And this episode, the girls are being liquid nitrogen to death. And I was like, Gibson, you are so in our mind now. You have officially been watching this show inside our mind enough that now you can predict the episodes that we're going to do. Wait, before you. So heard funny. Them. Like, I was like, both of those things we talk about. It's so funny.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, Joseph from Big Brother. I have never seen someone
way to kick
so,
him when he's down.
So like incorrectly like blindly confident in their own game.
Is he the first man you've ever seen on TV?
No, there's something different about Joseph. Because he's so dorky.
Yeah.
And the way that he exists, you don't expect him maybe to be such an arrogant asshole. Uh-huh. And then he's talking to Angela.
This is where it's coming from, you guys. Phoebe is protective of Angela. She said, don't fuck with Angela. I don't care that you got what was coming to you and you got kicked out of the house. It wasn't enough. I need to give it to you too.
I agree, because he was also a dick in his interview. But he's talking to Angela and he's like, I mean, to be honest, I'm like shocked you're still here.
Oh my God.
And I was like, Joseph, have you been watching the way that you've been playing this game the entire time?
No, literally.
You don't do anything.
Wait until you log on. Thank God he's not going to the jury house so he can log the hell on.
Oh my God, he's so annoying.
If I don't make it to the top three, then I don't want to be in the jury house. Just saying.
He gets on the block and he's like still. I hate when someone is like proven like wrong or they're taken down a peg and they still feel like they have to like act like.
Yeah.
Chill and arrogant and like not like.
Like when they get evicted.
It. Yeah, it's like
start crying.
And yeah, you should be devastated.
How would you react? Well, I mean. How could you ever guess how you'd react when you learn?
And that's why I can't go on this show.
That I would.
Because I know that there's a chance that I might not be affected at all. Like, I would be upset, but I wouldn't. I might not
in the moment
be upset.
Like,
but imagine I'm on my period.
Imagine. Yeah, I know. Phoebe like lunges for everyone's throats. They're like, oh my God, it's come to physical blows inside the Big Brother house. We are canceling the interview with Chinbot. Phoebe Connell is not fit to interview with Chinbot.
And then he gets in his interview and he finds out that Angela actually voted to keep him. And he's still mean to her. He's still like, I mean, yeah, like she sucks. She's annoying. She sucks the game, whatever he said. And it's like, you are annoying. You suck at the game. And then Angela gets to go into the DR, which, by the way, for most of the season, I thought meant doctor. when I saw that written in the chat.
Oh, my God. You're like, God, they are always in that doctor's office.
I literally was like, wow, they get six. Like, what are they doing?
You're like, this game is not safe.
I was literally, the doctor so much. Anyway. Angela was like, you know what, Joseph? I'm starting to think I saw you wait.
Don't edit that.
This is why she practices. This is why she has to practice.
And now you get it.
She was like, at this point, I was kind of surprised to still see you in the game. Angela ate.
She does eat. I realized how I would be evicted. I would think I think I'd start being mean.
You think?
I think I'd start.
I think you would start verbally eviscerating even your allies. Clyde's in the room. Ah! They don't. Wait, imagine this.
I start bringing up shit from college. They're like, wait, what
the
fuck? They
don't know that you guys know each other yet. And you think for some reason, this hasn't been proven yet, but you think that he maybe voted to evict you. And you don't know whether he has or hasn't. So you just start like, you're like being mean to everybody, but then you get to Clyde and you just like, start fucking like
going like in.
They have to like censor you in a way that CBS has never had to censor anybody on national television.
Chinbot comes back herself, grabs me by my hair, starts pulling me out.
A national emergency alert starts sounding on everybody's TVs and they're like
turn
actually,
off
everybody,
your screen.
We're about to turn loose a future convicted criminal. Everybody please remain indoors. Have you seen the film The Purge? Act accordingly.
The show's live for 5 more minutes. You have exactly that long to get to safety. And then
she's
out.
We don't know where she's going to go. We don't know how fast she can move.
Wait, that's something Anthony said about my fall. He goes, God damn, there is just something about you in that city. You want to be closer to the ground.
It's like, it's the ghost.
I'm trying to be closer to the ground. Wait, yeah, I do think that's what I would do. Wait, funnier though, if I just like let Clyde have it because still nobody in the room knows that we knew each other. And I'm like, I can't let them know. So even though I know that he voted for me, I'm going to start screaming at him like I think he didn't just to save his game. But then I leave and they're like, so wait, what the hell? Like who was the one vote for Caroline? Who was the one? And like no one thinks
Clyde's
it's
like,
Clyde.
I have no idea.
And someone's like, I'm telling you guys like, I did not. They're like, yeah, right, liar.
Like, and Clyde's like, yeah, and you, Clyde's like, and you're a known liar.
Imagine the chaos. I would say, oh, and that's why we got to do it. Okay, next.
And so next is people on the road who don't wave to you when you actually slow your vehicle down in traffic so that they can get over.
It's like when you are holding the door for someone
an exit.
And they don't say thank you.
And they don't say, oh my gosh. And I hate to put someone from my church congregation on my nightmare rotation. But I was going up to walk into the door. I'm at church, guys.
You're like, I hope you're going to confession after this.
I am walking up to the door. Yeah, it's like you don't even know that I just reformed the Catholic Church.
Right. It's
as
if you don't know
week.
My sister
it's
went like to confession at the Vatican in 2022.
And she's like, this isn't a Catholic church, babe. I don't have to. But I'm walking.
She's like, hey, whatever. It's whatever here. It's literally whatever you want.
Anything goes.
Anything goes here.
I'm walking up to the door.
I'm walking here.
The side, I'm parked on the side of the building, and so these doors, I guess, are locked. She tries all of them. We make eye contact. She's trying, they're all locked. Someone lets her in.
No.
And she
pulls it shut.
Doesn't hold the door open.
She pulls it shut as fast as she can behind her.
She's like holding it. We're like locking eyes through the glass.
There used to be this YouTube account. I bet I showed it to you when you were young. It was called 5 Second Films. And it was literally, she just someone in the stairwell and you see someone's like opening a door and someone at the bottom of the steps goes, hold the door. And you hear it shut and the person goes, nope. And we used to laugh. I have to find it. We used to laugh so hard. Hold the door.
Nope.
Just let it shut.
Oh my God. So that, anyway, but yeah, on the road, it really bothers me. It really grinds my gears. Especially
if you're on your
period. It's one thing on the highway. It does piss me off on the highway. Obviously, that's where it happens most frequently. But I'm like, okay, I'm in Nashville. Things are moving so fast. We're all from different places, too. You don't know if I can even see. I might have missed the wave.
I might not be able to see you. I don't want to assume. Right.
But if I'm driving down a road.
Residential, God forbid.
And you're trying to cross. You're turning left to cross in front of my lane of traffic. And I let you go. And you don't wave. Oh my God, I'm crashing the car.
Hey, by the way, drivers.
Sorry, you shouldn't have your driver's license.
I'm watching that for it. That should be that on should the driver's be, test.
That's a pass fail. That's a pass fail.
Death penalty.
There
wait, who said that? Who the hell said that?
Caroline, I thought you were there alone.
Oh my God. That would be...
He heard the conversation. He's like, yeah, death penalty.
Right.
Anyway, you just made it weird. You just made it weird.
Wait, Amber woke me up. Did I tell you right, this story?
I'm sure you never woke her up.
No, I didn't. I didn't. She said I did not have any screams except when she had to wake me up and she said, Caroline, I said, yeah.
suddenly Caroline is a cast member on Mike and Molly. I don't know why that's the first sitcom that came to mind.
Me either.
For some reason I feel like that's how they wake up on that show.
Yeah, like, you know when like mom wakes you up because your alarm went off and then like she comes in 10 minutes later and you fall back asleep and she's like yes. Are you up? Yeah. Like that's what I did to Amber, but she was like right there. I was like, yeah.
Amber flew across the room.
She could not believe it. She was laughing so freaking harder than last night. Anthony and I were watching Love Island. And he goes, Aaron, there's a bug on you. And I said, what? Because I didn't hear him say Aaron.
Aaron.
Like, there's a bug on you. What? I like flipped out and he said, Aaron.
Guys, well, my rotation has been an absolute laugh riot. I'm sorry, this last one's not going to be as funny. It's going to be the refs at the Steelers game on Sunday.
But we won.
We did win, but we didn't score a single touchdown. Did you see Chris Boswell's caption?
No.
He posted after the win and he said, great team in all caps. Great team win this week.
Oh, because he's the only reason.
He's the only person who scored points for the Steelers the whole game.
Wow, that's crazy. I wonder if he got a talking to.
If I'm Chris Boswell and I get a talking to for Bosa, I'm like, okay, I'll sit out this week. Okay, fine. Yeah, go. I'll watch from the sidelines this week if you want. Yeah, for sure. Suspend me. Let's see what happens.
Okay, Phoebe, I didn't want to tell you.
You're the backup kicker.
I will be kicking this week. Been practicing on the field. Going well, and that's pretty much why he was like, I can like say whatever I want on social because I get to take the week off, and if this goes well, maybe the season.
Anyway, the refs.
But
the
no,
refs
but
are coming can you for believe- my guy TJ. TJ had like 3 sacks this week, and they overturned all of them because of other things that other people did on our team. We got the majority of the flags called on us for stuff that didn't even matter. Anyway, we still did win, and guys, Caroline didn't do the nice thing for me and Anthony, and she didn't join the fantasy football league, but I did play Anthony on the season opener. Me and Anthony played each other this week, and I freaking creamed them.
Guys, it's called setting boundaries, all right? And guys, it's also called as long as I'm churning out reels that take our engagement up over 400,000 people, then I don't have to do anything.
I just want the record to show that I beat Anthony this week 133-98.
So not like even 50 points of a win.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know you were married to a loser.
Me either. So we're gonna be talking about it when
there's
I get
gonna
home.
Be a talking
yeah.
to after.
Yeah. He's gonna be real disappointed when he learns what I learned today. Yeah. So
obsessed with how your ponytail just came out.
And it looks perfect. And my hair looks absolutely stunning and perfect.
Did you listen to the Lost Culture episode with Kat yet?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God, I was laughing out loud.
It was great. It was so funny.
They are just so funny. And all of them together. I just
want to spend time with them. Hey, I was having another idea about my 30th birthday. If we don't do Coachella, which I still want to do. So just in case anyone's listening, I do want to do that. But if we don't do that, maybe like Camp Mona, but it's Camp Caroline.
Where?
I don't know, like a campsite somewhere. How fuck with cabins. Like a cabin weekend.
Like a real cabin.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Remember that one camping trip we went on with like a bunch of families?
Yeah, I liked it.
And
you didn't like those cabins? Say,
can we do like what your friends do and like find like a really big cabin?
Yeah, it's just
and
it's
do
still
that.
Gonna be a cabin in the woods though.
That's fine.
And it's gonna be camp.
Okay.
Think like a bachelorette, but just for me being 30.
Okay, perfect. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's
I don't want there to be
crazy
a chance that
Phoebe
like
just said
bugs near where
Phoebe
I'm sleep,
literally
sleeping.
Just said that's doable because my bachelorette was not insane. Which is actually such a flex. Wait, not someone saying they're dressing up as me and Phoebe for Halloween. Guys,
can you believe that?
That is obviously a dream come true. If anyone else is doing that, don't not tell us. Tell us, but make sure we're going to like it. Just kidding.
I'll just send you a link. I'll send you a link to a twig costume.
Yeah. And mine will be like Eponine from Les Mis or something. Anyway, I think that's all we had to talk about. Did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening today. Sorry that last week we got a little off our regular programming, but we are back, babe. And on Thursday, we will have our recap of season 5, episode 19. And I believe we get back into Patreon. We got to release that schedule too. So let us know, as always, if there's anything you would like to see. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. Please rate, review, subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating if you really, really love us. It takes just a few seconds on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a little review. We might even feature you on our Instagram. How cool would that be? So please do it. It really helps us so much. And if you like this episode, send it to a friend. Thank you, guys. We love you. We will see you next week. And splat.
I'm walking here.